Hey K-pop fans, welcome to Journeys Through K-pop. Are you a new fan who's not sure what groups to check out first? Or are you a seasoned listener on the lookout for new groups? Do you just like hearing the ups and downs of all kinds of groups? My name is Zange. I used to be overwhelmed with the sheer amount of K-pop groups and soloists that are out there. I only stuck to listening to a couple of groups that I knew I liked and didn't bother to branch out. I just thought there were way too many options out there. However, I was eventually able to branch out because of recommendations I got from friends. They were tailored to me and the genres of music I already knew I liked, so once I knew what I was looking for, finding new groups on my own was a breeze. In this podcast, you will get recommendations of different K-pop groups and songs based on genres that you may already be familiar with. You'll also learn some of the history behind each group and where they are today. So, let's dive in! Welcome back to another episode of Journeys Through K-Pop. Today we are talking about IZ*ONE! So, IZ*ONE was a girl group that was formed through Protus 48, consisting of 12 members: Yunbi, Sakura, Hyewon, Yena, Chaeyeon, Chaewon, Minju, Nako, Hitomi, Yuri, Yujin, and Wonyoung. So, starting with their pre-debut, like I said before, they were formed through the elimination show Produce 48. This is actually the third season of Produce 101, and it's called Produce 48 because alongside Korean trainees, it also featured members from AKB48, arguably Japan's biggest girl idol group. So they pulled in members from AKB48 and many of their sister groups alongside multiple Korean trainees. And the winning group would promote together for 2.5 years, which is interesting when you consider that the season one winning group only promoted for 1 year and the season two winning group only promoted for 2 years. But anyways, the end makeup of the group was three girls from AKB48, Sakura, Nako, and Hitomi, and 9 Korean trainees. The season aired starting June 15th, 2018, and the final episode and lineup reveal happened on August 31st of that same year. So moving on to their actual debut, this happened on October 29th, 2018, with a mini album called Color Eyes, with the title track La Vie en Rose, and this resulted in a commercial success for the group. The album hit number 2 on the Gaon charts, and as a result, they won New Artist of the Year in several year-end award shows. So we basically only really have one section to talk about because the history of the group is so short-lived. But what I will say is that all of their title tracks have very strong electronic and house influences, so if that's the kind of music you like, you would love IZ*ONE. And those title tracks, aside from La Vie en Rose, are Violetta, Fiesta, Secret Story of the Swan, and Panorama. But before they release any of those, we have to talk about their Japanese debut. I can actually talk about this in a little more detail, since that's basically half their history anyways. But their first single was called Tsukito Iwasutai. It was met with moderate success. It hit number 2 on Japan's charts, and honestly, I think having AKB girls in the group definitely helped their success in Japan, because Japan loves AKB48 and their sister groups. It definitely helped them in the long run, I think. But their first Korean release of 2019 was a mini album called Color Eyes with that title track Violetta, and that ended up getting the group their first music show win. Always very important. And then before their next Korean release, they ended up releasing 2 more Japanese singles, Buenos Aires and Vampire. Both of those hit number 1 on Japan's charts. And then October rolls around. They're starting to announce a comeback. It's November. They're getting ready to release their comeback. They're releasing all their teasers and everything. And then it comes out that the winning lineup of Produce 48 was rigged by the producers. Some of you might be familiar with this already, but it is the Mnet voting manipulation investigation. I am not going to go into too much detail with this. I will cover this in more detail in another episode, but basically what happened is IZ*ONE was supposed to release their first full album, Bloom Eyes, in November. However, because of this outcome of the vote manipulation scandal and the investigation, the group was forced to take a hiatus. If you're relatively new to being a K-pop fan, public image is something that is very, very important for K-pop groups to withhold for the general public. And with the scandal being what it was, their public image took a hit. There was one other group affected, X1. It was formed through Produce X101, which was the fourth season of Produce 101. The other groups formed through the first two seasons had disbanded by this point. So it was just IZ*ONE and X1 that were affected by this scandal. Eventually, though, it was decided that IZ*ONE could continue promoting. It's already 2020 at this point, but February rolls around. They finally released their full album, Bloom Eyes, and their title track, Fiesta. What a ride. Continuing on, they release a mini album called Wonderick Story in the summer with the title track, Secret Story of the Swan. This album actually is certified double platinum, and it's actually one of the first two girl group albums to do so, which is pretty amazing. Around this time, they also released their first and only full Japanese album called 12. I should mention, by the way, that as a result of the whole voting manipulation thing, they basically, like, stopped Japanese promotions. Like, they even refunded fan club members. Yikes. Moving on. Their final mini album to be released is One Reeler Act 4 with the title track Panorama. And then they have a digital single actually release in 2021 called Da Dance. It was actually a tie-in to the Universe app. So moving on to the part that no one was looking forward to, disbandment. There's a bit of a timeline here. The contract was for 2.5 years from debut. Their debut, like I mentioned earlier, was October 29th, 2018. April 21st, 2021 rolls around, and fans are trying to prevent the group from disbanding. So as a result of this, they start the Parallel Universe Initiative. It's basically a giant fundraising campaign meant to, like, extend the life of the group. They do reach their fundraising goal. However, on April 29th, 2021, IZ*ONE disbands as previously planned and announced. However, on June 19th, 2021, the news breaks that negotiations are underway with all of the members' agencies to potentially relaunch the group. So naturally, IZ*ONE fans get really, really excited. Unfortunately, in July, it is revealed that those talks ultimately fell through and that IZ*ONE would not be relaunching as many fans had hoped. So since this is the first group we have covered on this podcast that has disbanded, we're going to go into a new section of where are they now? So all of the girls from AKB48 and their sister groups returned to those groups, even if it was for a very short time. Sakura graduated on June 19th, 2021. Naka graduated on April 1st, 2023. And Hitomi is actually still in AKB48 today. Some of the girls from IZ*ONE joined other groups. Specifically, Yujin and Wonyoung joined IVE, and Sakura and Chaewon joined Le Sserafim. A lot of the girls made solo debuts, like they released their own songs and albums and everything. Specifically, Yunbi, Yuri, Hyewon, Yena, and Chaewon, to this day, have made solo debuts. As for Minju, she decided to leave the K-pop agency that she was in and she joined an acting agency. She decided to focus on her acting career. Now that we have covered all of the history and the where are they now, we can get into the B-side recommendations. There's definitely some variety here. There's a little bit of echoing. There's a little bit of echoing of their title tracks, but there's definitely some very distinct genres that we can see in the B-sides as well. So, as per tradition, starting off with ballads, we have Memory and Someday, and we also have a power ballad in the form of Destiny. There's also a few really cutesy bubblegum pop type songs in here, specifically Pink Blusher and Pretty. There's also some Moonbatan songs, which is a new one. We have Dreamlike and Ayayaya. House influences pretty much all of their title tracks, and we even see a couple of specifically house B-sides, mainly Highlight and Hey Bae Like It. Synth makes a return as a genre in O Sole Mio. We have a couple of dance pop songs, Spaceship and Island. And this was a bit of a shock to me because I didn't know that they had these songs, but there's actually a couple of disco-inspired B-sides, namely Merry-Go-Round and Sequence. And now we are at our last segment for this episode, my personal favorite song. We already talked about this already because it's another title track, but it's Secret Story of the Swan. The music video for this is just so pretty and mystical. It's like you've walked into a fairy tale. And I just want to say that IZ*ONE was promoting together as a group during the time that I started getting into K-pop. And this was the first release of theirs that I actually kind of paid attention to. And I was just utterly blown away. And I just immediately fell in love with this song. Not to mention, I just love a good fairy tale illusion as well. And that's basically what this entire song and music video is. So yeah, it's just very pretty, very, very elegant. I love it to death. That is all we have to say about IZ*ONE. Next time, we'll be talking about one of the legends, Girls' Generation! Hey K-pop fans, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please take just a moment to leave a review and share it with any friends who might enjoy it. Also, be sure to subscribe to Zange's YouTube channel, Zange DuPont. It makes me so happy to know that you're enjoying this podcast. I'll be back next week with another episode. Later!